Back in early mid-November, we received a call from a pastor's friend in Sherbrooke, where we minister for the week of camp for the teenagers every year. And he said, Brother Jacques, he said, Jeremy, his son, he's a missionary in Spain, and they were in the renovation program for their church building and needed some help and encouragement. So he said, I'm looking to see if I can get some few guys together and to go and help Jeremy. And I said, well, let me talk to my wife and I'll call you back. Well, I knew the answer of this lady. This lady is willing to go anywhere in the world to serve Jesus. It's as simple as that. So I called him back 2 minutes later. I said, count the both of us on. He said, really? I said, yep, count us on. So we took a trip and helped missionary Jeremy Roy in Spain. And somebody in the group was real good in filming, and he kind of put a little video together of our trip. So it's going to be a mixture of English, French, and Spanish into it. So hope you enjoyed it. Okay. Well, just because we are missionaries, that doesn't mean that we cannot help other missionaries. And we are thankful we've been able to share our talent with the group in Spain. Back in Easter Sunday was when? March? April, first Sunday of April? Okay. I got an email, and they had their first meeting in the new building on Easter Sunday. And then I showed it to Mrs. Brindamore, and guess what? She started crying. There was a lot of painting, and she did it all by herself. I mean, I didn't touch the paint whatsoever. I just did some taping and just about 30 boxes of taping of mud. So it was a lot of work, but we are thankful that the Lord was able to use us and being a blessing. You know, when we say may the Lord bless you and make you a blessing, we want to be a blessing to you today. Let's take our Bibles tonight to the second epistles of John. 2 John chapter 1. Chapter 1. Because there's only what? One. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Pastor Redding and Mrs. Redding, for your hospitality. We are delighted to be able to spend some time with you guys, and always enjoy coming to Berrien. It's a special place in our heart, and we rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Let me just read the first 9 verses of the second epistles of John, verses 1-9. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I've found thy of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, as we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For as many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we have received a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, had not God, he had abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. Now, when you're reading a Bible chapter, okay, what is it that you look for in reading a text?
Context,
okay. One of the things that I often say to our church, is there a word that comes back in as we read? Now, as we read this first portion of the second epistle, the word truth, what? Came back many times, right? Verse 1, he says, I loved in the truth. He said, verse 1, they have known the truth. Verse 2, for truth's sake. And then verse 3, in truth and love. Verse 4, walking in the truth. So you know that he wants to talk to you about what? The truth. Why does truth matters? Why is truth so important? And let's face it, what a great struggle the truth has been coming in our time. You know, a lot of people, well, that is your, that's your truth. That's your truth. Every time somebody says that to me, and I feel like saying, well, how many truth there are? You know, I thought there was one truth. And it says here, it's becoming a struggle. Imagine when John writes this in the biblical time, what would he say today? Do you think that's proper for today, this epistle? Obviously, yes. Now, let me just give you a brief survey of what the Bible say about divine truth. And I'll give you all these, and I'll give you some verses. We won't look at the verses, but I just want you to give you the big picture of the truth. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, that God is the God of truth, according to Deuteronomy. And then Christ is the truth and full of truth. Now, I just want you to know, Christ didn't say, I speak the truth. He says, I am the truth. There's a huge difference and nuance that needs to be said. And then when he says, I am the truth, in John 14:6, he says, I am the what? The truth. Now, In Daniel chapter 4 and John chapter 14, John 14 talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says it's a spirit of truth. And then in Daniel chapter 10 verse 21, it says it's the scriptures are the scriptures of truth. We are saved by truth. We are sanctified by truth. And we are judged by truth also. We are set free by truth. By the way, only the truth can transform a human's heart. You go to any church that don't preach the truth, I'm telling you, there's no heart transforming. Period. That's it. And then the scriptures also tells us that we ought to serve God in the truth, that we ought to rejoice in the truth, we ought to speak the truth, we ought to think on the truth, we ought to desire the truth, we ought to manifest the truth, we ought to obey the truth. It needs to be part of our life. We need to think the truth, we need to speak the truth, and we need to act the truth as we walk in the truth. Now, does everybody in the world speaks the truth? Are you sure? Me too. Not everybody in the world speaks the truth. Matter of fact, there's a whole lot more liars than those who speaks the truth. It would have been a good time to say amen, because that was right. But really, when you think of the world, there's two realms to it. Those who loves the truth speak the truth, and those who are liars are liars. And you know what? Most liars don't like it to be lied to. Why? Amen. Yeah. And that's why the truth is important to us. Now, what does the scripture says? We ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, none of us could be saved apart from the truth. None of us could be sanctified apart from the truth. None of us could worship God apart from the truth. None of us can serve God without being trained in the truth. That's why we train people. None of us could stand against temptation without the truth. None of us could step up to the spiritual warfare without being armed with the truth. Now, that's why the truth is so important to us. And let me just say this. The word truth, aletheia, means reality. It means it's the way things really are, in a literal sense of which contains nothing hidden. Very contrary to our politicians. Politicians, they'll say, oh, I say the truth. But they've hidden so many things that you just say, man, was that the truth? You know? And let me just say this. Do not accept the culture for what it's saying as truth. We live in a culture that is really contrary to truth. To truth. To biblical truth. Now, is an opinions poll says something. I say, well, it's just a poll. Get this. Because the majority says it, does it mean it's true? Majority say it, I'm saying, I'm not sure about this. Well, none whatsoever. Now, the truth is not only important for us as individuals, but is so important as a church. As a church. Now, what 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says? It says this. The pillar and ground of the what? Of the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, if a church abandons the truth, what does it mean to a church? I'll tell you what it means. When a church abandons the truth, it ceases to be a church. Simple as that. Now, the church, on the other hand, is very important, not only to represent the truth, speak the truth, preach the truth, live the truth. Have you ever heard some people say, well, I don't go to church because it's a bunch of hypocrites? Have you ever heard that? Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's a lot more hypocrites in the world than in the church. I've known that from experience. And get this. We as a church, we need to uphold the truth. And everything else falls into the realm of lie. One or the other. Now, our responsibility is to take the message of truth and not destroy the truth, not substitute the truth, but to what? Preach the truth. Preach the truth. And when I say preach the truth, I'm not only saying the preacher ought to preach the truth, we ought to be living the truth in a lying world. You know what? Your boss ought to know if you're lying or you're saying the truth. He ought to know. He ought to be able to trust you. Now, the church has always had the mandate to stand being the pillar and the ground of the truth. I will say this, the church has never been challenged for the truth as much as what it is these days. By the way, I've mentioned it this morning, just because Google says it's truth, does it mean it's true? No. No. And I admit that the challenge of preaching the truth, there's a price to be paid. But we can't afford to abandon the truth. We need to stick to the truth and encourage everyone to live the truth. Now, God wants to remind us that not only we are the pillar of ground of the truth, but get this, if the truth is not protected in the church, where is it going to be protected? It's not. Now, we need to step up when it talks about the truth. Now, verses 1 through 4 in 2 John's, I call it the living truth. We ought to what? Live the truth. Which means we ought to not only when the truth transform our lives, not only does the truth ought to motivate us to live for Christ. We must abide in the truth. Every believer needs to abide in the truth. There ought to be no room for hypocrisy. Secondly, verses 5 and 6, it says this, I now beseech thee, lady, not as I taught, I wrote a new commandment, but he says that we ought to love what? Love one another. By the way, sometimes it's hard to have both together, truth and love. I'm a grandpa. We are grandparents. And grandkids, as soon as you say, no, we don't do this, what do the grandkids say? Mommy does not love me. Papi? No. I'll tell you what. It's so amazing that even though a 2 years old or a 4 years old can distinguish if you love them or not. But I'll say this. If you speak the truth to them and exercise some truth to them, I'll tell you what, man. The only house where some, I call the boys, because we got two grandchildren boys that live by us. And at our house, there are some rules. You know what the rules are? This is a no-no, and this is a yes-yes. And they get it. The other day, I was doing something bad, and one of the boys looked at me, and he says, Papi, no, no, no. I went, But at our house, there's rules. And the other grandparents, there's not so many rules. So I asked one of them, I said, Ryan, I said, where do you like to go the most? My wife doesn't like that when I say that, but it's okay, the world won't know about it. And he says, Papi and Mammy. I said, well, don't you think there's so many rules? He said, no. There's not that many rules. Hey, they have a hard time to put them boys in bed by 9 o'clock. They come to our house, and when Mammy says it's time to go to bed, here's the bottle and here's the bed. Guess what? There's no fussing around. It's bedtime. We shall see you in the morning. So it's like, okay. And children needs to be, Kadri, help me with my English. Not only control, but needs to have boundaries. Boundaries that are set up. The scriptures are the boundaries for our Christian lives that we need to love. Abide in the truth. Love the truth. Hey, do you love the scriptures? Let me just say this. You answer yes or no, and that will tell you if you love scriptures or not. Did you read your Bible yesterday? If you answered yes, you're probably on the right track to love scriptures. What does it say on the sign outside about Berean? Searching the scriptures daily. Wow. And then he says in verse number 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should what? Walk in it. Walk in the truth. When we send the kids off to college, and I would say to them, I said, hey, you do what's right. Simple commandment. You do what's right. And guess what? I never had a call from the school. Because them kids knew, if dad said, you know, do right, we just need to do right. And guess what? Today they're adults. And guess what they're teaching their kids? Do right. Do right. Love the truth. Verse 7 and 8, being loyal to the truth. Deceivers twist the truth. Right? Now, is that something new? No. Remember in the garden when the devil came and he said to Eve, has the Lord really say this? What was he doing? He was putting a doubt in the mind of Eve. Guess what? He still uses the same thing today. Why? Because it works. It works. And a lot of times, and by the way, folks, if you have doubt concerning something, ask the Lord to show it to you. And I guarantee, guess what he will do? He will reveal the truth to you. We have girls that are in public schools, and they have made a profession of faith. One has been baptized, and every Wednesday night, a prayer meeting. By the way, I think the best place to be on Wednesday night is at church with your family. Expose the kids to what? The truth. The truth. And every Wednesday night, she'll pray, just about every Wednesday night, Lord, help me to discern what is true in school. When a 14 years old prays like that, you know that it has truth a high priority. It's like that with you, right? It just, yeah. Yeah, the truth needs to be in us. And you know what? When you ask God to give you discernment for the truth, especially in school these days and university and this and that, you'd be amazed when the teacher is going to say something and your red light inside will come on. That red light that's coming on, that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, watch, discern. This may not be the truth. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know if it's truth or not? Compare to the Bible. The Bible is what's determined if it's truth or not. Be loyal to the truth. He warns us, John warns us, and he says this, do not separate love and truth. Did you get that? They both go on together. They both go together. Do not separate loves and truth. Because in people's days, in John's day, some of them were rejecting the truth. And you know what? As soon as you speak the truth, then somebody is going to come and say to you, well, I know you. You don't love. And I'll tell you what, man. Probably love a lot more than what you do, because I care to tell you the truth. Yes, indeed. By the way, would you want to have friends that are loyal to the truth? Yes. Do not separate the truth from love. Now, there's a lot of the presence of deceiving these days. It's widespread. I could go on and preach. What I'm saying to you, watch yourself. Walk in the truth. It's not enough to care for yourself. You need to be reminded every single day. You need to be reminded with God's truth as a mirror. And it says in the beginning of verse 9, whosoever transgresseth what? The truth. Transgresseth the law of God, abided not in the doctrine of Christ. What he's saying, he said, if you transgress the law, if you transgress the truth concerning Christ, and by the way, there's a lot of churches and religion today that are denying Jesus Christ, deity. The list is on. We were talking yesterday about a hymn that some Mormons were saying, great hymns, but they left one verse completely out of the hymn, and guess what that verse talks about? Christ. Now walk in the truth. Be looking forward to the truth. Do not transgress the truth. And by the way, a lot of modernists wants to make you think they can improve God's truth. I'm scared when I hear some people say that. My ears get tickles when I hear some people say, well, I think it means this. I said, what do you mean, you think? Does the scripture say it or not? Look for the truth. Don't transgress the truth. By the way, God would not want us or any of us to improve what's already been written in the book. What are the two errors he says in Revelation? Do not add, and do not what? Take away. People will start to take away part of the truth. And when you start taking away part of the truth, There's nothing left. There's nothing left. What happened when a church moves away from the truth? Here, write it down. The church has a deficient immune system when we move away from the truth. And when your immune system is off balance, guess what? You are up to be grabbed by something. Your immune system needs to be on the dot. When we lack discernment, we're yielding ourselves to a thousand's illness. When we have a low commitment towards divine truth, we are opening the door to all kinds of virus. Or misinterpreting the truth, misrepresenting the truth, all of these things will lead to disaster. The church has been called on to be protector of the truth because the truth is the most important things. Yeah, well, you say, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot. You know what? Ask God to give you discernment to protect the truth. Just ask Him. When you lose the truth, you lose everything. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is warning Timothy. He says, you need to protect your mind with what? The truth. Protect your mind with the truth. How do you protect your family? With the what? With the truth. How do you protect a church from false teacher? With the what? Truth. I grew up under Victor Burrow's ministry, and Victor Burrow was very similar to what I can see to Redding Sr. Those are the kind of men they were in those days. And Burrow, he stressed to us, he would call us the preacher boys, because we were boys. And he says, how are you going to discern the truth? And he says this, it's like money. You learn what every bit of good money, a good $20 bill, looks like. He said, man, he said, they touched it. They study on full details about the truth of a $20 bill. When the false $20 walk into their hands, guess what? They knew about it. They knew about it. It's the same thing with us about the truth. Don't spend all your times about learning about other religion, what's not true. Study the Bible. Know what's truth. And then when that thing comes in front of you, you're going to know that is, that's hogwash. That's no good. Learn the truth. Let me close with one more thought. Today, we are up against people that not only they're denying the standard of truth, But I will say this, they're muddying. Is that a good word? Muddying. You know what I mean, muddying? You know, when the kids go out in the mud and play in the mud, they're muddying all the terminology. And when you start muddying the terminology, you start muddying the truth. And it's no good. Not even, and that's why people say today, we're not even sure what truth is anymore. I said, what? You ought to know what the truth is. And I've noticed for years that people that stick to the truth are hungry for the truth. Every single day. Martin Luther said this in a citation. Said, peace if possible, but truth at all cost. What was he saying? Truth what? First. Peace. After. Truth at all cost. You know what? If the world would want to conform us to relative truth, but God said there's a perfect truth that stands forever in Psalm 119, verse 89. Let me close with one verse. And let me challenge you to learn it. Okay? Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23. We have a memory verse at our church for a month, and this was one of them. Proverbs 23, verse 23. You got it? Okay. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is not for sale. For me, I know Pastor Redding, the truth is not for sale. It ought to be your motto in your life. The truth is not for sale. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we have the Bible, the Word of God, the Word of truth. And we are humble to the fact that you have entrusted us with your word. Give us discernment to discern what is truth and what is false. Help us to know. Help us to teach. Help us to stand. And help us to submit to the truth and surrender to it. Take away, please, the fear of man and give us a fear for your word. Give us a new desire to uphold the truth in our home, in our personal life, in our church, and in the community. Father, we know that the enemy would want to eliminate the truth that has always been their desire of the devil. But you are much greater. Sanctify us through thy word is truth. Thank you for your time. Thank you for our time together tonight. We pray that these words might be an encouragement and goes deep down in our heart. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor Redding.